Chisholm. I'm just Chis Chisholm. I'm Chis Chisholm. I'm just Chis Chisholm. I'm Chis Chisholm. I'm just Chis Chisholm. I'm Chis Chisholm. I'm just Chis Chisholm.
Yahweh! Ciao, Fudgebaggers. Definitely stop that song too early. Welcome to Pure Boys. Are you doing drugs right now? What are you doing? For the listeners.
Basement era, baby.
For the listeners.
Steve Creep is coming at you.
Steve Creep is consuming cannabis, I think, on the other side of this microphone. And depending on where you live, listener, that might be illegal.
Yeah, I hope so.
Me too. Your mic sounded fine before we started. Now it doesn't sound good at all. I don't know what happened to you.
Well, I got vape breath right now, probably, and yeah. It's definitely coming across on the two-way.
Oh, no, you sound great now. Now that you got all that vape out of your lungs.
Vape juice.
Did they ever...
Mine tastes like menthol.
What does mine taste like?
Well, it soothes the throat. It's menthol.
Well, you have been dealing with a sinus infection, so it's good that you should rub some of that vape on your chest and try to open up your lungs a bit.
Vapo-Rub is nothing but rub A535 for the chest.
I mean, Vapo-Rub, the vape is right in the name.
Yeah, vape it.
Yeah, Vic's Vape-Rub.
Vape it, rub.
I think that's just when, like, someone blows vape on your chest.
Yeah, oh man, that sounds very sexual and should definitely be porn.
I mean, anytime you have the words blows and on your chest in a sentence, it's going to sound sexual. It doesn't matter what the other words are in that sentence.
Yeah, but it's probably been overwritten by, semen in historical past, you know?
True, yeah. When you go through the great histories of language, semen is there every step of the way.
When you're talking about blowing on chests, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to our religious podcast, Pure Boys. I'm Adam and Chiz.
And I'm Steve Creep, and I'm getting high.
God, now I want to get high. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll save it for afterwards, then. I'll control my addictions and save it for after we're done working.
I thought this would be fun. It is Christmas, after all.
Hey, Merry Christmas in 3 days.
For us, in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it would have been cool if we were coy, a couple of coy boys playing it real cool, but it's Christmas to me, dog. Who cares?
Exactly. Who cares? It's December 22nd at 6 o'clock at night and later at night for some of us. So this guy's going back to the well, hitting that vape. Hey, while you got that vape in your lungs, why don't we do the Pure Boys prayer?
God bless our podcast, please.
God bless all podcasts, please. We love you, please. Amen.
Amen.
Or a woman. Told you in Jesus' name we play wouldn't survive. Told you that wouldn't even last a week.
Yeah, but we still have please, and I think that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
I remembered this past week that my last name was Creep, and I found that very funny.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that, too. But I've been going back and listening to some old episodes and, you know, bumping our listener count up, making sure
I got bots on all of our videos, especially the Medea ones.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listeners, if you want to see some bot action, head to our YouTube page. Look at how many views our Medea videos have. Not the most recent two. Those ones, they're still young. They're infants. Check out the Medea videos. Those ones have, between the four of them, probably about 100,000 views.
Bots love Medea because it's so singular. There's not really many other meanings for Medea. Or many other people out there named Medea, except for all the Medeas. Do you think they're angry?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's like all the kids who were named Adolf back in the 40s in Germany. They're probably just like, geez, you've ruined my life, man. Now I can't go outside without people, you know, yakking at me.
Yeah, I would yak at a guy named Hitler, for sure.
I mean, I'd yak him off.
Like a stadium show?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I didn't say his name was Hitler. I said his name was Adolf, but that's fine. Whatever. If you want to yak If you want to yak some dude named Hitler, go right ahead, pal.
I guess there's a lot of Hitlers out there.
All
just
right.
Not Adolf.
Calm down, Kanye. Just relax, all right? Enough with you're kind of obsessed with Hitler, as this podcast has proven time and time again.
I've said it more than once, but it's something that we learned for every single year of our lives since like 6 years old, so.
That's true, yeah. It's funny how that's just drilled into us. Never forget.
Oh, drilled, yeah.
Do you think they even teach 9/11 in schools? I doubt it.
Yeah, probably every day.
Oh, wow. Well, never forget.
Yeah, you have to slap the sign before you enter your classroom, and it says never forget.
That's right. But the sign is a picture of the Twin Towers, so you're smashing the Twin Towers when you go into your classroom every day. Never forget that, though.
Yeah, it's the Twin Towers implanted into whatever biggest city is near you. So that skyline, and then the Twin Towers.
Right, of course. Yeah, the Sydney Opera House with the Twin Towers behind it. The
exactly.
Arc
yeah,
de Triomphe.
San Francisco Bridge.
Exactly. Twin Towers. Yeah, Manhattan with towers.
Yeah, Osaka, Japan, and that huge mountain in behind them.
Mount Fuji.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Not so much with the Twin Towers. Never forget.
Never forget. They put those towers right on top of a mountain. People said they were crazy and were like, that's not a good place to build two towers. And they were like, why not? Prove us wrong. And well,
never forget.
I guess they got shown.
Man, Japan is such a small country, square footage.
Hey, you know what? Wow, I've never thought of it before, but you're absolutely right. Japan is a small country in terms of square footage.
Yeah, the population density is outrageous. Oh. 150 million people are there.
What do they do for a living?
Oh, yeah, I watch videos on YouTube about this all the time. Usually it's normal people. They call people who are business guys salarymen.
Okay, they call people who aren't from Japan gaijins.
Yeah, well, definitely the drifting community is all about calling people gaijins.
Oh, yeah, hey. Oh, wow, beautiful segue. Were you just trying to tee that up the entire time, and I just was not picking up on it? I was just like, yeah, Japan, yeah. I'm big in Japan. Come on and slam, and welcome to Japan, yeah.
I think we got there naturally.
We did get there naturally, because this week we're talking about 2022's Legacy Peak, starring Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drifts, Bow Wow, no, Lucas Black, the worst actor maybe in the world.
He's looking good, though. I swear he looked like crap during F9, and this, he looked like a real man's man.
Well, because he's a family man now. Because in F9, he's supposed to be, like, 22, and you go, this man's clearly 40. Like, I don't believe that this guy's 22. Where in this one, he can just be 40. It's fine.
Yeah, just be 40. His like receding hairline, though, looks worse in F9.
Oh, yeah. Just Be 40 is my favorite English reggae band.
Just Be 40, man.
Just Be 40, man.
But it applied to him in this movie because he gets to be a dad.
I guess.
A lonely, lonely dad.
Kind of. I mean, despite his best efforts, he gets to be a dad.
Did you know that about gasoline, that you have to filter it if it's old?
I don't know if I knew that, but as soon as he started, like, putting the rag over, I was like, oh, yeah, right, there's, like, particulates in it. Yeah, I didn't know that it was, like, oxidized. I just assumed that it was, like, it's been in this container long enough that there's rust in it now or something, so.
That's real knowledge that I will take with me for the rest of my life. I mean,
yeah.
What else do you need from a movie?
It's also real knowledge that God is real and we should let us thank him for this food. Amen.
When they're praying in this movie, and it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. I think my count was six.
Six times?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like,
that's what makes this movie good.
Full prayers, I think, is four. But then there's several, like, thank you, God, and, like, which is kind of a prayer. He didn't say please, but that's okay.
Well, when you're on the run from the elements, you don't have time for full prayer.
True, and that's why The Happening was such a disappointing movie, because even though they were on the run from the elements, they could have taken a second to just say, hey, thank you, God, please.
Kneel before thee.
Mark Wahlberg, kneel. He's like, I'd never kneel. Hey, I'd never kneel for the flag. That's not a good Mark Wahlberg. That's really bad, actually. I take it back.
Yeah, 5 a.m. he kneels, and then the rest of the day... He doesn't kneel.
Exactly, yeah. We all know his workout. Hey, have you read that article in the New York Times about the honeybees vanishing?
No.
Well, that's because it's a line from The Happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have heard that.
Right. Well, Boy, let's get to some segments, huh?
Yeah, it'd be great to get to some segments, but I just want to say before we get there,
sure, that
I wish I could get up every morning and kneel for the sunrise, for the whole sunrise.
Hmm. That was a beautiful sentiment to say over this music, because I have a very important question to ask you. And of course, that question is, whomst was the Bagger Vance of Nothing Is Impossible?
Well, Adam, I would have to say that the Bagger Vance of Nothing Is Impossible is the concept of time, because it shatters it completely by making me try to believe that a 51-year-old man
52.
Is actually 39. Well, during filming, probably 51. We don't have to get into it.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. We don't have to get into the logistics of filming.
No. Let's stay safe. So yeah, concept of time. Now, Adam, whoops do you think was the Bagger Vance of the bouncy ball movie Nothing Is Impossible?
Well, Steve Creep, thank you so much for asking. To me, the Bagger Vance of the bouncy ball movie Nothing Is Impossible was, of course, Tommy Blaze for writing that delicious script and doing his best to convince us that David Ayer White can hang with professional basketball players. And you know what? Maybe the director should have been the Bagger Vance, because they really put in the legwork of convincing us with their tricky camera shots and things like that. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure they held hands.
Definitely. Well, to pray, certainly.
During the process and praying, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, God, there were so many Bagger Vances in that movie. Like, Farty Marty Dankles has to be up there.
Sitting on a step.
Yeah, that's... The person who said, hey, you guys should just sit on the floor for that scene. Maybe that's my Bagger Vance. Well, I've never been so unsure, but I'm going to say the person who said they should sit on the floor. Got it in. Whew.
I really love that my connection to that movie for the rest of my life will be larger men sitting on a step.
Really, like, really comfortably sitting on a step and just, like, really appreciative that, like, the director said, hey, this is a good spot. In this room full of chairs, you should sit on the floor. And they said, no problem.
It's a young man's game. I can't believe they made Farty Marty Dankles do that. And I'm crushed.
Yeah, and I mean, like, no Reggie, no Arlen, no Chuck
no
from accounting.
No Reggie. Get stuffed.
Oh, get stuffed, eh? Wow, that's a throwback. I feel like Luba Goy over here.
Good stuff.
Hey, speaking of Luba Goy, we got to get to everyone's favorite segment.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Kevin!
Well, this week on the Kevin Sorbo Power Hour, we have a tweet that he pushed out at 3:44 p.m., which is coming at me as a weird time of the day. I said I wouldn't comment on his bowel movements anymore, but this guy's pooping and twittering, and he's going crazy because of it.
Oh, yeah, he's spending too much time on the toilet and not enough time with Sam Sorbo.
Oh, man, if you had Sam?
Yep.
Is her name?
Yep, Samuel.
Good for him. Good for Kevin.
Samson, I think, is her full name.
Simpson? Okay, so his tweet goes thus. This way.
Mm.
At this point, I only trust people who've been canceled.
Well, great. That's good. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Of course you would. Those are your people, Kevin. Enjoy it.
And they've done horrific things, and I guess connection is plausible.
No. They haven't done horrific things. They've been wrongfully attacked and besmirched by the woke mob, cancel culture. That's what it's all about. It's all the left's fault and blah, 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 blah. Whatever talking points Kev has.
Are all liberals cucks?
Yep.
Or is it not all cucks are liberal, but all liberals are cucks?
Oh, I mean, that's probably true. Yeah, for sure, right? Because I'm sure you could be a conservative cuck. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Kinks are kinks, whatever you're into, right? All stars and stripes.
The famous cuck of all, Jesus Christ.
That seems like a good spot to end the segment. And maybe this show. I don't know.
We love you, Kev.
We love you, Jesus. Our best buddy.
Yeah. He's a good pal. He digs deep.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen. let's go, and just let's get into this episode. I feel like this is going to be a 45-minute episode. I think we're going to be calling it early on this one.
We've already talked about a lot of this movie.
That's true. Like, at least the interesting part of this movie. Well,
I feel we flew by those segments. I feel like the last, like, few episodes we've recorded, those segments take, like, an hour.
Well, here's the thing. We usually record in the morning when we're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We've just had a coffee. We're not hitting our mint vapes. We're feeling perky and happy and ready to go. But we're doing an evening record post-work because my schedule got changed. Now I'm working during the day just for a little while. So it's kind of just throwing a monkey wrench in this whole thing. And it shows. So we'll be back to morning record soon enough, listeners. Don't you even worry about it.
I think we're having a ball, and so did the characters in this movie. It's just a party 247.
Listeners, just in case you need some context for him saying we're having a ball, he was hitting dingers seconds up until the show started. So he's having a ball right now.
The best time to play MLB The Show 22 yeah, is during the offseason.
When will 23 come out?
Next year.
Oh, dope. All right. That's cool.
It comes out like a week before opening day. There's a whole to-do about it. Oh. It's great.
That sounds great, huh?
Consume.
Consume. Never stop. I had a great
milk.
Yum. You know, there is some cool stuff about this movie, though. And you know what one of the coolest things about this movie is?
The scenery.
Well, yep. That's what I was going to say. The fact that it takes place on a sometimes snowy mountain, sometimes not.
Yeah, sometimes it's in the backyard of some guy's house yeah. in California.
Exactly. It's such a strange mix. Like, there's one shot where they're hiking through a blizzard, and they're just, like they're shielding their face from the snow, and in the next shot, it's like a summer day, and they're just walking by a river. I'm like, where is this movie taking place?
Yeah, a lot of this movie is just, like, green screen and special effects and, like, fake snow.
I mean, the wolves certainly are, but we'll get to the wolves.
The wolves are great, baby!
This movie was directed by Dr. Aaron Burns, who you might remember as the star of Pendragon, Sins of the Father.
Was he also director, writer, star?
No. Chad Burns. No. Chad Burns was the director, his brother. Aaron was the star, and now look at him. Now look, he's directing.
This makes total sense, because yeah. I love this movie to death. It was the best movie of the year, of course.
Certainly.
But I was expecting a little bit more action, a little bit more, like, people flying through windows type situation.
Like getting into saloon fights.
Yeah, like along the way.
Sure. Yeah, right. Yeah, the journey. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Like the sheriff's hut or whatever.
Yeah, the ranger's hut.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I was expecting that we didn't get? A friggin' apology at the start of the movie.
From who? God? Or?
From Dr. Aaron Burns. That's his calling card. That's his signature.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Pendragon started with him and Chad being like, look, this movie, we had, like, no budget. It's all family. We're really sorry about how bad this movie is. I mean, they didn't say that, but they said it with their eyes.
The problem is they haven't had enough time to apologize. Like, it seems like they released that movie, and then it went to, like, a different platform, so they had time to, like, put together an apology. So once we figure out some other way to consume media, there'll be an apology before this one, for sure.
I'd love an apology from Chad and Dr. Aaron Burns just beamed into my brain at some point.
Why doesn't he star in it? Like, he must have been angling to star in this.
Oh, yeah, but then they were like, look, we can get you Lucas Black for pennies on the dollar. And he was like, all right, easy then, sold. I will say, though, this movie is better than the Pendragon in terms of production in every conceivable way.
This might be the best movie in terms of production that we've seen on PureFlix. Like, from tip to taint, it's very competent.
What about Beckman?
Beckman, I still think there's a polish on this. Like, the acting sometimes in Beckman is a little suspect. Some of the cinematography goes too far. Stylistically.
Goes too far. That cinematographer was out of control.
Too much red.
I wish the director would have reined in that cinematographer. He was just wilding out there on set, like, doing whatever he wants.
Blanch it out a little, you know, like boil it out a couple of smidges.
Beige it up.
Exactly.
Too many blues, not enough beiges, Beckman.
And everybody wants a beige now.
Of course. But, like, this movie is, like, what Holy Man Undercover is to Beckman, Pendragon is to this movie. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, in terms of a step up, and it's like, oh, wow, this is a professional movie now, not just, like, a film you made with your buddies and your family. This is a real movie starring Lucas Black, a real movie star.
Yeah, like, they were really kicking rocks during their first production, their first movie, really feeling out the waters, stealing as much money as they could from their local churches as possible to make this movie, and time money they were stealing.
Can't get that back.
Stealing people's time.
Can't get that back. They stole our time.
But it seems like, well, they limited the cast during this. They didn't have to have fields of people fighting.
Yeah.
Which is a lot easier. And then you just spend all that Pureflix and Sony money, apparently, on
Lucas Black.
Good actors. Aaron Black, of course.
Well, hey, Aaron Black. Shout out to Aaron Black, wherever you may be.
No, I was thinking about him. Praying on him.
Well, hey, the mouth of the South. First off, I'd just like to say that Lucas Black is not a good actor. He is in the same category of actors as Sam Worthington, Taylor Kitsch, and Jai Courtney. Those four actors are four people that I go like, boy, they really tried to make you a thing, and you just didn't have the talent to make it work, huh? Like, you just, I don't know why you're famous. I don't get it. Well, they're all handsome, I guess. They got that going for them.
I feel the exact opposite. I feel like he really redeemed himself in this movie. I, of course, grew up loving Tokyo Drift, and his southern drawl really draws me in. So
draws you in.
I don't know. Maybe it was this strong dad energy that was coming across, but I was lapping it up.
Oh, he did have big dad energy for sure.
Yeah. Big honking, like, nerd dad energy. Yeah, big, that also knows how to fix ATVs.
Big honking, differently colored dad energy.
He puts together matrixes of how his life is going to turn out.
Yeah, I do love that his whole thing is, like, writing down lists and just, like, getting stuff out of his brain and writing it down. And everyone in the movie treats it as if that's the stupidest thing they've ever heard. It's like, what kind of list do you have for this situation? He's like, well, I do have a list for it, actually, and here's what it is. Oh, those are good ideas, actually.
Yeah. Even his soon-to-be fiance is kind of like knee-jerking him around at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Dogging him.
Yeah, well, oh, yeah, your list. I don't care. You screw good or whatever.
I guess, mate. No, definitely not. They're not married. You kiss good. Well,
yeah, they're definitely not screwing yet because they're not married.
They're doing anal.
I say dry humping.
That's God's back door. That's the back door. You can do anal if you're not married. That's fine. God said it's cool. Unless you're two dudes.
Sound wasn't in disagreement. It's just the sound I automatically make when I hear anal.
What about when you say it? Oh, there it is. There is a moment where...
There is anal.
There is a moment where Lucas Black does have anal sex, but it's right at the very end.
With a wolf.
But that's how he kills it.
That could be the ending in your mind. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I'll correct you.
That's when Grandpa Toilet walks around the corner and sees it and goes like, this is my future son-in-law, I guess.
Beautiful scene.
But there is a great moment right near the start where Lucas Black and his soon-to-be fiance are talking, and then they go to, like, kiss, and the camera cuts away. It cuts to something else, and it cuts back, and they've finished kissing. And it's like, oh, thank you for sparing us the kiss of an unwed couple. I very much appreciate that.
I mean, as a Christian director and writer, you figure the audience is going to shut their eyes, but you can't take that risk. Mm-hmm. I guess as an editor, mostly.
Oh, yeah. God forbid. Hey, God, if you leave a kiss in between unwed people, if it's a married couple, fine. Show them having sex. It's fine. But if you show unmarried people kissing, even, you'll never work in this town again, bucko. You're done. You're finished.
Well, I wonder if they shot a bunch of kissing scenes in this movie, but the editor, like, slyly took them all out.
Right, yeah.
Under their noses.
The editor was like, look, it's you and two kids. We better take all the kissing scenes out of this, because it doesn't really make sense if it's you and then the oldest kid is like a 16-year-old girl. We can't have that. There's too many kissing scenes between you and the 16-year-old.
But she knows first aid. So.
That's true. And she knows how to be a giant bitch.
Yeah, but, you know, there's reasons for it. She's hurt in the past.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, her dad's dead or whatever.
No, she's good. Like, she's, like, in a wholesome place, and she's just looking out for her kid brother.
I mean, she struck me as a real, my husband was murdered by a white man on Christmas Eve defending my honor. And then you find out, nah, that's
in 10 years, yeah, that's definitely going to be her.
Yeah, oh yeah. what'd you think of this line that definitely sounded better on paper than in the movie? Well, the place has electricity and running water. Well, so does this thundercloud, but you wouldn't want to live in that.
That made sense to me. I got that.
Oh, line. I got it too, but that's a better line on paper than in performance.
It's terrible.
Uh-huh.
But I get where the kid's coming from. He wants to make sense of the world, and he's just trying to figure things out.
That's true. Yeah, he's a nerdy little diabetic boy with glasses and no brain in his head. They're flying in an airplane, and he's just like, I'm not going to bring a jacket. Why? We're flying over mountains.
They should do some reshoots with this movie where he's blind the whole movie.
Like when the plane crashes, his glasses break. Or yeah. Do you mean like he's blind?
Right into his eyes. Yeah. I meant the whole time, like from birth.
Right, okay. I like the idea of them flying, and then when they hit the flock of birds, a bird flies through the window and pecks his eyes out.
Yeah, somebody should peck their eyes out successively throughout their journey.
Yeah, yeah, they lose one.
And it was the grandpa the whole time.
Old grandpa toilet. It was so nice when you showed up.
I loved when he showed up.
Me too. Although I was like, I had 9 toes out of that movie by the time he showed up. So by the, I was like, I was like, oh, I think that's Grandpa Toilet. It's not, but it's an old man. Might as well have been.
He is a little too good looking for this movie, I feel.
Grandpa Toilet? Yeah, sure he is. Yeah.
He probably tried out for the dad role, and then they were like, just gray him up and make him the grandpa.
Well, and he definitely tried out for the role of that French chef in Form de Fark.
Form de Fudge to Butt to Table, yeah.
Yeah, Form de Fudge to Fark to Table.
Man, that was a good movie.
That was a good movie, yeah. That's a better movie than this movie. Although, this movie does include the line, that's Legacy Peak there. And I went, ooh, that's the name of the movie. If only we'd have said that's Legacy Peak 2022 right there.
So they're going to the cabin, and of course they pray first.
Of course.
The mom's not going because why have 4 people in this movie?
Yeah, it is weird that she's just like, nah.
I'm not going yet. I got like an real important job, I guess.
I get like, yeah, you can fly.
She's
my
ambassador from England.
I get from Ecuador. I don't know, but like, yeah. He's flying the kids up to the cabin. How is he going to land at the cabin? Where is he going to land?
I don't think he thought that far ahead.
I don't think so either.
And the mom should have questioned it.
Yeah, because like the grandparents don't know they're coming.
No. They have to set it up very smartly so nobody looks for them for days.
Yeah, she's not going to be at the cabin for 4 days because I guess that's how long it's going to take her to drive there. So you just fly there, whatever.
I think God told her at a young age to never leave the ground.
And he said one day, the first time you leave the ground is when you are going to be raptured up into heaven.
So she took the long way, and that took 4 days.
Oh, yeah. And then her stupid boyfriend took her kids and flew them there. And like, so there,
that's Legacy Peak over there.
Hey, that's Legacy Peak there. Oh, guess where they don't go in this movie? Legacy Peak.
No. They just kind of crash around it,
they crash in the mountains, and then just never, at no point are they like, hey, it's like, wow, we made it to the top of Legacy Peak.
Yeah, I definitely thought, because of the name Legacy Peak, they were going to have to either go around or over Legacy Peak.
Yeah.
There was going to be some, like, or like maybe even an avalanche that would definitely be coming from Legacy Peak, because that's a Legacy Peak.
Oh, that's a Legacy Peak. They do go to Legacy Lake, which I guess we're supposed to care about, but call the movie Legacy Lake then.
They arrive at Legacy Lake the next day really early. A lot of time to F around.
Oh, yeah, they got time to catch fish. They got time to do all kinds of stuff.
I really love that they, of course, dig the hole for ice fishing. And then the little boy is supposed to be minding the fishing pole, but he just, like, gets bored and leaves the pole.
But, like, takes the pole with him for, like, because when they cut back to the pole, it's sliding across the ice, being dragged into the hole. So what, did he just, like, take it to the edge of the lake and go, like, nah, I don't want to carry this anymore, and then just dropped it?
Based on what I would do if I was stoned, I would be fishing there, and I'd be talking to myself, and then I'd walk away for a little bit, and then probably just drop it and then leave. So he was probably just walking with it for a little while, and then...
Like, didn't even notice it fell out of his hand. No. He was probably just like, just got back to camp, like, where's the fishing pole? And he was like, what fishing pole? Oh, yeah. I'm blind. I couldn't see. I don't know.
Yeah, see? This scene makes a lot of sense if he's blind.
The diabetes never really comes up. I guess it comes up once, but it's not even that big of a deal. It's just like, oh, hey, you should probably have your insulin. Oh, yeah, you're right. Here you go.
Oh, you're low on glucogen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I am. Here's paste. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, smushes a bunch of dirt in his face.
Yeah, at least, like, Signs was like, hey, this kid's having an asthma attack. Let's talk him off, right? Like, not this talk him off through his diabetes attack, I guess.
I guess.
It would have been better if, like, Lucas Black smelled his breath and was like, are you drunk? You smell like fermented fruit. Are you drunk?
Diabetes.
I got diabetes. Yeah. I do love that the kids are like, the son... The boy is, like, excited to fly. The girl is not thrilled to fly. But then the plane crashes, and all I could think was, like, you're never getting these kids in a plane again, Lucas Black. That, like, I would never get in a plane with him again. If that happened to me, I'd be like, yeah, no, God just told me not to leave the ground anymore.
Well, just in the situation, though, I would just tell him to watch out for birds. Big, huge... Huge flocks of birds that you could definitely see coming right at you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is the boy's fault that they get into the crash regardless, because he's like, hey, I think I see a wolf. Let's go look for it. And Lucas Black is like, well, that's off the flight path, but all right, I guess we can go check it out, but we got to be quick about it. And then he's just like, there's a wolf over there. It's like, kid, you didn't see a wolf. All right, calm down.
It would have been better if they were just, like, looking down at a wolf, and he just, like, turns the steering wheel as they're looking and just crashes.
I've definitely done that in a car before. You look off to the right in your car, you just steer to
you
the
drift.
Right. Yeah, you drift. Yeah, you Tokyo drift. Has anyone made a movie called that before?
Well, they definitely should have called back to it. In this movie. Yeah. That was kind of the most shameful point of this whole thing, was that they didn't, especially when they're on the ATV, just giving her.
I wish that at the end when they were like, we love you, Dad, if he'd have gone, call me Drift King.
And then spits.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Drift King, you dropped your crown.
The thing about Aaron Black in this movie is that he should have spit more.
Yeah, for sure, right? Like, he's out in the wilderness. What, are you not going to spit when you're out in the woods? Sure, that's God's gift.
Yeah, and you're leaving a little bit of yourself wherever you go.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So that when you inevitably go missing, they can follow your trail of spit and find you.
Oh, yeah. They just use a blacklight.
Exactly. Where's all the spit in the woods?
You know, if you get lost in the forest, if you just, like, did a little erm and then... like, mixed it with some water and, like, put that in a trail behind you, and somebody could, like, use a blacklight to follow your trail.
That's brilliant. Yeah, your little snail trail.
Exactly.
Yum.
I brought it up pretty effectively.
We found him, but you don't want to know how we found him. You don't want to know what the process was like to get him.
He was shriveled where it counts.
He was Italian on both sides.
I'm gonna do it. I hope you find out that I got lost, tell them to use a black light.
Bring that black light, and they go, why? And I go, I really don't want to have to say it out loud.
Can't explain this. Sir, you have to explain this or we won't use the black light.
Look, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I feel very confident that he masturbated himself to climax into a bottle, then spit in that bottle or put some river water in it, and is now splashing his watered down sperm all over the trail so you can find it with a black light. Look, I know it sounds crazy, Sheriff. Sheriff, I know it sounds crazy, but I've known Steve Creep my whole life, and I think he's just coming everywhere in the woods. So please, look for the cum if you can't find him.
How do you know him?
We were born in the Garden of Eden together, and he's made from one of my ribs.
In reality, the embarrassment of explaining what a podcast is and what our podcast is.
No, it's easy. I just tell people it's a Christian podcast, and they don't ask any further questions. They just go, oh, that's nice. And then in their mind, they go, oh, he's a Christian, I guess. They go, well, you would think that, wouldn't you?
I don't know. So what if they're Christian and they look it up?
Well, good for them. Thanks for the listen.
Get the bots on us.
Yeah, dear Dave, thanks for the support, asshole.
Hey,
hey, you want to see something cool my youth pastor taught me? Lucas Black says to the kids while unbuckling his pants.
I quoted that as maybe the most dangerous sentence in all of cinema history.
It's really like, boy, where is this going? What do you mean,
outside
Lucas?
Of this genre of movie, every single time that's ever been said, or maybe almost said, it's nefarious.
Oh, yes. And in this movie, it was nefarious. He told them about a knife.
Yeah. They really love knives in this movie, which...
Like crappy knives. Whittling knives.
Get a gun.
Yeah, whittle a spear out of your gun, please.
Like, does he not have a couple of guns in his plane?
He should. You know, I'm an idiot, because when that kid wanted the knife so he could make a spear, I thought he was going to tape the knife to a stick and be like, now it's a spear.
You got no tape.
I wasn't even thinking that he was going to whittle it down to make a spear. I thought, yeah, you just tape it to the, yeah, ruin a knife. Why not?
Does he do that and immediately get lost?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gets, that kid is a friggin' idiot.
Beautiful evening.
Suck. Oh, couldn't ask for a nicer night to sleep in the woods surrounded by wolves.
The snow is falling so perfectly as if you were in a ski resort and outside in a hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like the evergreens in the background, and it's just falling so gently and bright. It's bright outside for some reason.
Well, because it's a full moon.
Elevation.
You're close to the God.
You're above the clouds.
Yeah, you're above the clouds. It's true. But yeah, he does just like, he's supposed to keep watch. And then he's like, fuck this. I'm not going to keep watch. Even though you're doing this to show that you're responsible. Like, Lucas Black is like, look, I don't feel comfortable giving you a knife because you're like 9 years old. But if you can show me that you're responsible, then I'll give you the knife. So just stay watch for like 2 hours while I sleep, and then you can have the knife. And within half an hour, the kid's like, nah, I'm going to go catch a fish in the river at 3 a.m. with this spear I made. Okay, good luck.
Your sister just had a major accident. The stunt double that she had when she fell off that ATV definitely broke their collarbone.
She hit the river hard.
Oh, so hard. And then Lucas Black, Aaron Black,
yeah,
has been taking care of you throughout this perilous journey for like 2 days now, and you just like can't sit watch for an hour,
right? You just can't
sleep.
You just can't do the thing he asked you to do, huh? So yeah. Looks like you're not getting that knife because clearly you're not responsible, kid.
Was that also one of the times that he's mad at him for making lists?
No, I think Sam's the daughter. She's usually the one who's angry at him for making lists. And also, like, is giving him constant shit about his, like, little screw-ups or mistakes that he's making. Or just every little thing he does, she just gives him grief about. And then at the end of the movie, has the friggin' audacity to be like, oh, you know, being a dad is all about trying your best. Like, you can't say that. You've been dogging on him this whole time. You can't say that.
Oh, she loves him now.
I guess. She loves him.
Well, did you think she threw that ring into the lake?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought she chucked that ring away.
Yeah. Oh. Well, maybe she's a magician pulling that ring out of the hat.
You know, I'm sorry. I want to get the quote right. It's, a good dad does what he can, even if it's not enough. Beautiful quote.
I wanted to stew in it, and I'm sure our listeners wanted to too.
Yeah, I really thought when she threw that ring in the river and she was just like, I don't want you to marry my mom, and just threw his mother's ring away, I thought he was going to punch her in the face. I really thought he was going to be like, well, I guess this relationship's over, so I'm just going to beat this kid in the middle of the forest. Why not?
Well, she definitely saved him $250,000. That ring was beautiful. Silver, diamonds?
It was old. It was old. You know those are blood diamonds.
I can't believe this youth pastor was just on the level.
Really cool guy. Giving knives with the word beloved carved into them. Like, that's where it seems like he kind of crossed the line.
Yeah, there's another story about that knife.
Here you go,
you
orphan.
You
want to
see something cool my youth pastor showed me?
Zip?
Like a Playboy or something? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Hey, kid, Ben, have you ever seen a Playboy before? I'm like 8. So yeah, I've seen hardcore pornography on the internet. Of course I have.
I haven't even been in Fast Tokyo Drift yet. They should have called it Fast Tokyo Drift.
Oh, the fastest of the Tokyo Drifts. Yeah. I had a
Fast Tokyo Drift Fast.
I had a dream that the 10th Fast and the Furious movie was going to be called Fast X Furious, and it was going to be a crossover with the Triple X franchise. And I woke up and felt so much disappointment that that wasn't true. That I just woke up and was like, oh, I don't live in a world where that's the case. That's such a bummer.
Well, I mean, it could be if you got on the right Discord. You get on the right Discord, and you're just, like, one step away from being at the top.
Oh, you're chatting to Vin Diesel himself. You're getting D&D tips for Vin Diesel.
He's not in Discord? Of course he is.
Of course he is. Yeah. You know where else he is? At Universal Studios, Florida, on the Fast and the Furious high-octane, awful ride.
Eating Chinese.
Ooh, yeah. Yum, yum. Yum, yum, dim sum is what he says in that movie, I think.
Yeah. Well, he should have been the grandpa.
That'd have been wild if just like you hear his voice, his gravelly voice, hey, you got a wolf problem. And you turn and there he is.
Doesn't he have a cross like necklace?
Yeah, he does. Of course he does. It's right here.
Well, why wouldn't he be in this movie as the grandpa then? That is fucked up.
You know what my biggest regret is in life? I went to Universal Studios Florida with the intention of riding that Fast and the Furious ride, and I forgot to bring my Vin Diesel Fast and the Furious necklace. I have one. I just didn't bring it. What a silly goose.
They would have raked you over the coals at security over that. They would have asked you so many questions. Like, why do you have Vin Diesel's necklace?
What did you do with Vin Diesel?
He wore this in 5 out of the 9 movies he was in.
Wrong. He wore it in all of the movies. That's his.
You think there's got to be one where they forgot.
Nope. In every single. Well, he's not in Too Fast, Too Furious, so I guess we can count that one out. But he has a cameo at the end of Tokyo Drift, and then he's the star of all the rest of them.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me he has a cameo at the end of Tokyo Drift. That was one I was definitely counting on, but one that he probably didn't have on because he had to go through security.
Right.
And they probably had a lot of questions because originally that's the Queen's necklace.
Right. Well, and they're speaking Japanese and he doesn't speak Japanese. He's like, I can't answer these questions. I don't know. I don't
Before
know.
Before it was
Hitler's. Jeez. Kanye.
I don't support having the necklace.
I do. I think it's a great necklace, and I'm glad I have it. God, it's good.
How do you say necklace?
Necklace.
Yeah, why do I say necklace?
I don't know, because that's also a fine way of saying
that's
it.
Fun, yeah.
Hey, you say necklace, and I say necklace. Necklace. Necklace.
Necklace.
Thank necklace. You. There you go. Yep. Let's
necklace
call the whole thing
is
off.
Weird.
No, it's not.
Well, you don't have a neck? Come on.
Oh, necklace. Neckless.
Exactly.
Wow, eat fresh.
So, if you landed poorly in sure. the wilderness
no
with
problem.
Two kids that have a mom that you want to have sex with.
Oh, yeah.
What would you do?
Well, the first thing I would say to them is, hey, can you just not give me shit until we get home? Like, we're all going to work together to get out of this, but you giving me constant shit about everything is not making this easier or, like, getting us home faster. So you can treat me like shit when we get home, but for now, let's just be friends and get through this traumatic event together, and then afterwards you can hate me forever. I don't care, but just shut up about the things you don't like about me for now. Let's get out of the woods.
I would pull out my gun, and I would take off my first layer of clothing,
yeah.
and underneath I would have very tight, what is that material that is bulletproof?
Gore-Tex.
Gore-Tex. That's not it. It's Gore-Tex.
It's Danny Gore-Tex.
And it's just draped all over me, and then I shoot the kids, because they'd slow me down.
Naturally.
And I'd say, survive at all odds, and I would start running.
I would say, what would Jesus do? And then I would run away from the kids in peril.
Well, it'd survive at all odds.
There's nothing in the Bible about Jesus saving kids from wolves. So what would Jesus do in this situation? I don't know. Nothing. It's like in the Bible if they talk about pork or not.
And if you're wondering if these wolves track these human beings throughout this whole movie, you are correct.
Oh, yeah. And if you're wondering if Lucas Black walks around like a toddler who has shit in their pants, you're also correct.
No, he's got a good walk.
He doesn't.
This is a total redeeming movie for me.
He doesn't. His arms are too short for his body. He walks around like he's got a dumper in his pants. Thumbs down, Lucas Black.
I hope they have a sequel, and he has a plane, another plane that he can fly, and he's going back to their original departure point,
yeah.
and they crash.
And he goes, not again!
It's different kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or the same one's older. Same, whatever.
No.
Who cares?
Same characters recast.
You think? Same
yeah.
character?
Yeah, why not? Just put different kids in their roles. It's fine.
Like old people playing young kids?
That'd be cool, yeah. That'd be different. Put Han and Bow Wow in there.
They should have a age limit for acting, and it should be 24.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. For women.
Yeah.
All right, in agreement. All right.
Yeah, no notes.
No. Perfect as is. Great. Moving on. So the wolves are stalking them and whatever. I was like, oh, this is going to be like The Gray where Lucas Black's going to tape a bunch of broken bottles to his hands, beat wolves to death. And that kind of happens, actually, weirdly enough.
Yeah, it happens at the end. I mean, you get your dessert, but you have to, like, eat a lot of orange before you get there.
Oh, yeah. But I thought this movie was going to end with, like, the wolves or a wolf, like, cornering the three people, right? Lucas Black and the two kids. And then one of their heads explodes, and then you cut to Grandpa Pendragon standing there with a shotgun going, stay the fuck away from my grandkids, please. And then he just pumps into those other wolves and blows them all away.
Movies today have ruined movies like this for me because I'm always looking for a bigger death or violence or a bigger twist.
Yeah. Right? I mean, this movie, when it's time to kill the wolves, they do a respectable job of it.
Yeah, I thought the wolves were played by great females over their 24.
Yeah, exactly. You thought the wolves were played great by cougars.
Yeah, the costumes were perfect.
Immaculate.
Long fur, though. I think wolf fur is, like, shorter.
I don't know. The Great Danes they had playing the wolves in this movie just didn't really fit, but, you know, it worked for me.
Compared to that cowgirl movie that we watched where
you'll have to be, like, more specific.
Small dogs that were attacking the horses and they were supposed to be wolves.
Like
there was a black lab.
John
that
Voight
was supposed to be a
that just yeah, John Voight John one. Voight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the what is that?
That was a John
one?
Voight.
Which of the John Voights was that? Hang on. We can't move on until I find out which John. But you keep vamping.
I think she was a toddler that grew up to be a small child. Mm-hmm. And she was an orphan horse?
It was Orphan Horse. Episode 69, Orphan Horse.
Oh, that was 69?
That was 69.
Beautiful.
I closed my window, and now I got to find the theme songs again. Okay, yeah, that, sorry.
That movie, the wolves were atrocious. So I felt like this movie did a better job.
Fair enough. Well, they used real wolves when they attack Lucas Black. It's a real wolf trying to eat his face.
If you combined Orphan Horse and Missionaire, it's basically this movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I could think when the plane was taking off, too. It was just like, suck your dick in her. Yeah, of course. So they kill a wolf by crushing it with rocks, which is brutal, horrible way to die. And then they kill another wolf by stabbing it to death and then shooting it point blank with a hunting rifle. So good for them.
Well, thank good for Grandpa, and thank good for that dumb dog named Isaiah. Jonah,
yeah, because he's always getting lost. And I mean, that's not really what Jonah's story was, I don't think, anyway.
No, he had dumb brain. The desert was too one color. And
no,
he
got eaten by a whale.
Like, there was a bunch of, like, compasses, and people knew how to do direction by then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lots of signs at that time, probably.
And he was like, he said, doofus. I can't read.
Yeah. This sign. He solved a lot of crimes, though. He was a doofus, but he solved a lot of crimes.
He was a real Mr. Magoo of that era. Mm-hmm. He was just bumbling through life solving crimes, and people were like, I can't believe you did that. You're a soft brain. You're a bozo.
Yeah, that's where the phrase Jonah comes from.
everyone knows that famous phrase, Jonah.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey,
doofus.
I stopped watching this movie after they murdered the wolves. What happens after that?
Oh, well, the father lets Aaron Black know that he's going to be his father and that this journey has proven to him that he's good enough for his daughter and to raise his grandchildren.
What?
And then they walk blissfully back to the cabin and it ends.
He doesn't propose?
The kids go, so are you going to propose? And he's like, what do you think? And then the music starts and it ends. He walks over with the ring and you don't know. I guess that's probably where it picks up in Missionaire 2.
Legacy Air 2.
I loved the journey of this movie. I loved a father being a man.
Me too. I love, that's one thing I just always say about life. I just love a father being a man.
Yeah.
Or a woman or any Stars and Stripes.
As a writer or director or an editor or a cinematographer,
or an actor,
if you're giving me the thing we were just talking about, I agree.
Great. Hey, Steve, can Christians eat pork?
Well, based on this movie, I would have to say that they... it is definitely lightly touched upon that they can eat pork because I believe they eat Slim Jims.
They eat beef jerky, but that's beef.
Well, some jerky, especially beef jerky, can be pork.
Couldn't be more wrong.
Or have pork flavoring.
Couldn't be more wrong. Well, pork flavoring, sure. Okay, but that's not the same. That's not the question. The question isn't, can Christians eat pork flavoring?
I think it kind of is, because pork flavoring implies, although you could have different ingredients that make something taste like pork.
Yeah, correct.
Like celery.
Like pork. That's like
white pepper.
I went to go get a donut one time, and I was like, do you have any Boston creams? And the guy was like, what? And I was like, do you have any Boston creams? And he said, what? And I said, do you have any Boston creams? And he said, no. And I said, oh, okay, well, what kind of donuts do you have? And he goes, well, we have Boston creams, and...
I think you might have found somebody that was broken.
Me.
Yeah, either one of you wasn't relaying the information they thought they were.
I was Hollywood undead, that's for sure.
Sometimes, is all you need.
It's more than enough, yeah. Can Christians eat pork? Yay or nay?
Definitely nay. Well, we don't know, I guess. It's not yay or nay.
It's inconclusive.
This information wasn't available during this movie.
Well, yay or nay to that.
Nay. Now, Do you think Christians can eat pork based off this movie?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Why?
Because nobody eats pork in this movie. And you can't give me that pork flavoring nonsense. It's not pork.
They talk a lot about eating pork throughout the movie.
That's true, yeah. When they're, like, lost in the woods, the kid keeps going, like, God, I could really go for some pork right now.
Just F me rotten. I want some pork.
Aaron Black, do you have any pork in your bag? Like, what?
Please.
I went to a gas station to get you treats. I bought
coloring
you
bugs.
And they're stoked about those coloring bugs.
They are just so happy to have something to do.
Oh, yeah. And that girl goes, oh, no cell phone really changes a woman.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh. Oh, it's not a good look. Well, until next time, I love you.
I love you.
We love you, please. I wish it said ho 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 Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we should just do Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
We won't think that much about Christmas.
That's true, yeah. I mean, we should at least keep in the ha ha ha, that's great.
Yeah, that's great. I'm just
next time.
This is a great movie.